Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You see, I have an interest in him. I was running through the West. Maybe Phoenix.
That's what so funny you said that. I mean, you got Booker and Ayton. That would be the one team. But would he hamstring those guys' development, do you think? Does he make them
Booker,
better?
Boy, I think Booker almost has to be a point guard. I've actually long said that about him. Like, he almost has to have the ball in his hands. And then Ayton's got to kind of play off of that. So I don't know, unless you're going to change the mix there, which maybe Phoenix does. I mean, I don't know what Phoenix, their direction really is.
I know.
Minnesota, maybe another one. Maybe they have some interest. I know they were looking at D'Angelo Russell potentially going up there to play with Karl Anthony Towns. And you know, if he wanted to go there, maybe work in a sign and trade, something kind of to that effect, with Brooklyn after they were able to get, you know, Kevin Durant locked in. But even some of the teams that weren't playoff teams, like, you know, Sacramento wouldn't have any interest in him. The Pelicans wouldn't have any interest. Dallas wouldn't have any interest in him. So
how about the New York Knicks?
That's a good call.
I mean,
franchise in dire need of a star.
Right. I mean,
that is a good call.
That's they don't have a lot of assets to trade for him right now, but I don't think you're trading Russell Westbrook right now with that contract and kind of knowing his track record. That might not be as easy as you think, and that's kind of how we're going down this list. I think the Knicks could be in play. Hell, even the Cleveland Cavaliers, who could be looking for that next iteration of you know, building blocks. The Washington Wizards want to move off John Wall so bad. I know, the Oklahoma City Thunder probably wouldn't be in on getting John Wall back in return because it's basically the same problem. But I think, you know, that would be a team that would love to have Russell Westbrook over John Wall. But I don't know that that's something that Oklahoma City would be willing to do. But yeah, Knicks, Cavs for me, maybe even the Chicago Bulls. Who are desperate to bring a little star power in Chi-Town. I think as we kind of look at this, Eastern Conference teams would probably be more suitable destinations for Russ.
And as far as the Wizards go, I mean, you're right. I mean, Oklahoma City, you're not going to go into full rebuild
with
and then
John
take,
Wall, right?
Yeah, John Wall. I mean, it looks like they are. And we had a caller earlier detailing how their owner Clay Bennett has, when been pushed to pay significant forms of tax and salary, eventually he cuts it off. And I could see where, you know, he gets in a room with Sam Presti and they're mapping things out, and they just hammer out the fact that hey, it's not working. Paul George wants out. We probably weren't going to win it with Westbrook and Paul George anyway. We're going to get a glut of picks back in the Paul George deal. Maybe it's time to move on from Russell Westbrook after, you know, having that core get bounced in the first round of the playoffs the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you know, the Bulls would be interesting. I mean, I know that they drafted the kid Coby White just a couple of weeks ago from North Carolina, and now they got Zach LaVine there, but. Maybe Kobe could end up being more of a shooter, and we know that Russell could – he wants the ball in his hand, but, you know, Russell, he could play both guard positions. So Bulls could be an interesting one in all this. To me, Russell speaks to wanting to play for a big market team and, you know, a team that's going to make a move like that for – a player making as much money as Russ would be a team that's pretty damn desperate. And so you got to look towards the bottom of the standings. And, you know, Cavs and Knicks would probably be a good place to start.
How would you stack up the Western Conference right now?
Yeah.
If I said go 1-8, where would you go?
Yeah, I'm going Clippers first for sure. I'd probably go Utah second. Bogdanovich can flat out stroke it, man. And you got Conley there, Donovan Mitchell. I think they got a nice balance, so I think I'm going Utah, too. And then the next tier, I got Lakers right there. How can you not? Denver Nuggets, I think. they didn't really do much to get better, but I also don't think they got weaker this offseason. And, you know, I know they gave the max to Murray, and they'll get Porter Jr. next year. Hopefully he'll be healthy because I think he's going to be a fun player to watch. So I put the Lakers and the Nuggets kind of to round out my top four. I got the Rockets five, and it'll be interesting to see how they shake up this roster. I feel like Daryl Morey's desperate to do that, but, you know, you don't have a whole lot of maneuverability with Chris Paul, to say the least. And, you know, we'll see if him and Harden can coexist, but I still think they're going to be pretty damn good. I mean, there's a team last year that won 53 games and, you know, push the Warriors in that series. So I got them five. The Blazers are an interesting one for me. I totally understand the course of action, re-upping Dame and giving him the max contract. But him and CJ, you know, the Warriors swept them out and they weren't even at full strength. I know they're banking on Nurkic coming back. If Nurkic can come back healthy, that's going to be key for them because they need that front court scoring. I don't really understand the whole Hassan Whiteside acquisition. That looks like, to me, the Nurkic rehab isn't going great. And then they lose Harkless. They lose Farouk Aminu. So I think the Blazers might be a little further down that pecking order. But I got them, you know, maybe six range. And then it's probably the Warriors, the Spurs, the Kings, the Pelicans, kind of all in that next group fighting for, I think it'd be like four teams fighting for those final two playoff spots.
Yeah, I'm going Clippers, Utah, Lakers. I'm going to put Portland ahead of Denver and Houston as
okay.
the four.
Well, so you like Portland.
Yeah, I think Portland and you know, continuity, I think, matters there. And look, they were going to be without Nurkic. I mean, I'm with you on Whiteside to a certain extent, but, I mean, Nurkic was going to be – he was going to miss a good portion of the year regardless, just based on the nature of when he was injured.
Sure.
So you got to have some kind of a body there. They're able to keep Rodney Hood, so I like that move. I actually like them unloading Evan Turner, and Kent Bazemore gives them another guy that can score a little bit. So I think Portland's actually done a pretty nice job this offseason, all things considered. I think Denver's in the mix after that, the Rockets. And then I start looking at San Antonio and the Warriors at the bottom. I do think the Warriors are in as long as they stay healthy. And I just don't see a team like Sacramento or the Pelicans or even Dallas vaulting over the Warriors. And I also think, you know, the thing we have to stress is the Warriors still aren't done. I know it appears that they are done because they're at a hard cap and they're right up against the hard cap, but there are still moves that can be made. And I think the Warriors don't have to be made if this team is going to be solidified and maybe get from a 7-8 conversation back up to a 5-6 type of a conversation in the Western Conference. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Mark Medina of the Bay Area News Group is going to join us coming up. Tim Roy as well before we get out of here on a Saturday. John Dickinson coming to you from Las Vegas and the NBA Summer League. Ryan Covey in San Francisco and more coming up here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Ryan Covey with you till 1 o'clock. Mark Medina coming up momentarily. We will have time for some phone calls in this segment after we talk to Mark and then before we close out the program with the great Tim Roy, the voice, of course, of the Golden State Warriors. Let's first, though, go to Badger Brian. Badger Brian, Walnut Creek, you're on 95.7 The Game before we get to Mark Medina. Hey, Badger Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Shout out to your producer. He's excellent. So I want to know, given the current state of affairs, and boy, it's mind-boggling, how the two top teams in the East, specifically the Bucks and the Sixers, would stack up against the two top teams. Forgive me for saying this, but that's obviously the Lakers and the Clippers. How do you think they would match up currently?
Boy, I think the Bucks are really good, but they're different. But I also think there's a point where Giannis, and I know a lot of people thought it was this year. I mean, he won the MVP for crying out loud. But I think there's a level Giannis can still get to.
in terms of just consistency and not allowing himself to be taken out of a playoff series the way that the Raptors were able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think Giannis has the ability to push the Bucks, farther than maybe anybody else. I'll be honest, though. I look at the East, Covey, and yeah. I actually think what's happened there, I mean, Toronto's out of the equation now without Kawhi.
Yeah, without question.
So you just throw them out the window. I think Philadelphia is the big winner in this because they vault up almost by default. And then I still think the Celtics, although I'd like them more without or if they had Al Horford, yeah. I don't think the Celtics are going to stink like people think they do. I think they're still an Eastern Conference championship contender as they'll hand it over now to Kemba Walker and hand their team over to their young players that played so well 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that's it. You hit on it right there at the end. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, it's time to show. It's time to take that next step. And I think Kemba, just based on all the factors with Kyrie, the lack of leadership, and just it just didn't work out there. And Kyrie's a great player. He's going to go on, I think, to be productive with the Nets, and they'll be fine. And it'll be interesting to see how well they play this year, knowing Kevin Durant's coming in the following season. But, yeah, I think the Celtics will still be in the conversation. Milwaukee's intriguing to me because, you know, they lose Brogdon, but they end up giving Chris Middleton that max. They got the Lopez brothers. They're on a long-term recruitment pitch to Giannis. I don't think it's so much about Giannis showing what he can do. I think it's more about the Bucks showing Giannis that they can convince other players to build around him and keep that core together so when Giannis's free agency comes up, he doesn't get that wandering eye because he's going to be the most coveted prize in free agency that we've seen probably since KD hit the market with OKC. So and maybe even since Kawhi, but I'd even put Giannis ahead of him considering his age. So, for the Bucks, the time to win is now because Giannis could be on his way out in, what, two seasons?
Let's get to our next guest, and it is the one and only Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group, covers the Warriors, and he's brought to you by Dialpad. Appears on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Mark, thanks a lot. Mark in Las Vegas as well here for the Summer League. How are you? And it looks like it's reported here. We got the news. DeMarcus Cousins agreeing to a one-year, $2.3 million deal with the Lakers. Just your thoughts on Cousins going to L.A. and him having to take less money for a second consecutive year and even less money this year than he got last year.
Yeah, it's so ironic, JD, because he wound up getting a depressed market, I think, for similar reasons, right? Where I think part of it's by circumstance with, having to wait for what Kawhi Leonard's decision was going to be. Obviously, a lot of attention on what Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to be. But I think that this is just another sign that there's less demand for not only plotting centers, but even less demand for someone who's come off two pretty serious injuries. So there's no question that even if those themes kind of played out for two consecutive years, it's almost like the circumstances change where the Warriors kind of saw him as its ultimate trump card of just, hey, bolstering the all-star depth even more, where here with the Lakers, it's clearly a fallback plan with Kawhi Leonard unexpectedly going to the Clippers. But on paper, obviously, the Clippers are a much better team now than the Lakers. But, I think you have to keep in mind about the Lakers that they're still going to be a team to be reckoned with. I mean, you have LeBron James. You have Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma's a good young player. Some of the guys they brought back with Rajon Rondo, now DeMarcus. It's all going to be a formidable team. But I think unlike last year, all these moves no longer suggest that it's inevitable that it's the Warriors and everyone else. Now it just feels like the West is completely wide open.
How do you power rank them as far as, stacking up the West next year, Mark? I mean, I think the Clippers are the prohibitive favorite now. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, I would definitely put that on board. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's the finals MVP. He's
right.
A lot younger and healthier than LeBron James. And Paul George is a pretty good supporting cast. And I think, when you're ranking players, Anthony Davis is obviously a better player than Paul George, but I think there are questions to be asked about Anthony Davis's durability and to what extent, that will play out this next season. And on top of that, you know, when you're looking at the Lakers, they don't have as much depth as the Clippers do. So I would rank the Clippers number one, Lakers number two. And after that, it's really hard to say because it's inevitable that, you know, the Warriors got worse, you know, that the Thunder got worse. But I feel like the Warriors are still a playoff team. I think the Thunder is going to become completely irrelevant now. Houston's still in that mix just because they have James Harden. But it really feels like it's both L.A. teams, and then there's this clear separation of this weird, unpredictable pecking order with the rest of the West playoff teams.
Mark Medina, our guest here, Bay Area News Group, covers the Golden State Warriors as he joins John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here. Warriors this week at 95.7 The Game. When you look at the number that DeMarcus Cousins gets, $2.3 million, and I'm not sure, you may have the number, and it may have been reported, and I'm missing it. Do we know what Willie Cauley-Stein's number is as far as his contract with the Warriors?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get that number, but I think it's in the $2 million range. So, bottom line is they're being paid both a similar amount of money here.
Yeah, and that's kind of the question I'd have for you would be, let's just say they're both making 2.3 until we know for sure. Would you rather have Cousins or would you rather have Willie Cauley-Stein? I mean, I know the answer that I would have to that question, and timing is...
I know the answer that you have because we were doing a show and you went all in on how you weren't a fan of Willie Cauley-Stein, right?
I'm not at all, yeah.
It's a tough question, JD, and I understand why the Warriors decided to go where they wound up going. I think that they felt like they needed to get younger by and large, and I think that the value that they did have of having DeMarcus Cousins somewhat diminished because they don't have as many all-stars on that team anymore. And I don't want to say his time with the Warriors was a failure. There was definitely times that he helped the Warriors stay engaged during the regular season, obviously give them another talent, but there was also an awkwardness of how to integrate him, you know, what pace they're going to play at. And I think that was only going to be, I think, even more pronounced next season, even when you account for the fact that, you know, from a physical standpoint, DeMarcus is going to be, a better player. But I think that the Warriors felt like long-term, it's just better to go younger, play at the pace that they're normally accustomed to. And then the idea is next summer, that's when they can, you know, kind of make all the big moves because they'll be more freed financially to do so.
Hey, let me ask you this, Mark. Considering with KD leaving, and basically when you look at the Warriors roster, it's who you are, and then you're waiting for Klay to come back from an ACL. So I think if KD had re-signed, then you could make this case for, you know, more going all in the following season, not this upcoming one. And I think there's still something to that as far as developing young players this upcoming season. But when you think about the usage rate for Steph and Draymond next year, knowing that, A, you're probably not going to be a championship contender, B, these guys could probably go for a little bit of a breather here. I mean, they just played so much basketball the last 5 years. And then with, you know, Klay Thompson not coming back till after the All-Star break, as far as usage rate and minutes for Curry and Draymond, I mean, what do you think the Warriors are going to be looking at, and what do you think they should be looking at?
Yeah, it's a very fine line. And to be honest, I don't know if the Warriors' risk-taking here is going to be a good move or if it was better off them just kind of staying pat and leaning on everyone that they have and seeing what they can get at the mid-level and re-signing DeMarcus. I think that the fear, broadly speaking, is that the Warriors felt that if they just went status quo, that they would just be moving in mud the entire year. And that they, and I think the larger point with the D'Angelo move is they're trying to set themselves up with some financial flexibility for next season, where they either flip him midway through the season, the trade deadline, or the end of the season, or maybe they keep him, but I think the odds are they try to flip him. But the reality is they just wanted to be able to have more spending power at some point in next year. But to get to your question about Draymond and Steph, I don't think that they're going to do load management the way that they did with Kawhi Leonard. I think that going into the season, they still see themselves as a playoff team when you talk to players, when you talk to coaches. But I think what you will see is you're not going to have them be playing 40 minutes plus a night. I think they'll still average what they did last year, which was in the low 30s. But the reality is if one or two of those guys get hurt, that suddenly changes things dramatically for the worse. And when you're looking at these last few years, there have been times where all the All-Stars have missed a chunk of games, and it didn't matter as much because they had other All-Stars to to hold it down. And here, you don't have those reinforcements. So I don't think that the Warriors are ever going to go into rebuilding mode or shutting those guys down until or if that moment happens. But at least leading into the season, I think that their thinking is they have what it takes to be a playoff team, and in the meantime, they'll try to accelerate the development of some of their young guys and maybe make some moves leading to the trade deadline to get themselves some cap room for next summer.
Mark, what do you think is next for the Warriors as far as trying to shape the roster, if anything? I know the hard cap, and they're up against that, and I mean, do they feel they need another small forward? I mean, I look at Glenn Robinson III or Alphonso McKinney, and I think, boy, that's not going to cut it. But
right.
if you don't have the ability to actually sign another player because you don't have enough space, then obviously you can't do it. I mean, do you think the Warriors are not done in terms of trying to create a little bit more flexibility under that hard cap to try and at least get another veteran minimum player or two in that have some experience in terms of just being an NBA starter?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, and it's something that they need to answer. I mean, the Warriors are not done, but I don't think that anything that happens from now until training camp is going to be dramatic. I think the first order of business is with Sean Livingston. You know, they have until July 10th to decide, okay, are they going to waive him, or are they going to try to trade him? I think that they're going to try to trade him to your point of getting some assets in return. But, you know, Sean Livingston is a tough person to consider, because I think especially for some championship teams, he could be a guy that's good to have in the mix to hold the locker room down. He's a steady presence, but his value is no longer what it once was, and he'll be the first to admit it, because he's just been dealing with injuries this past year. And so I think ideally the Warriors look at some of those contenders and think, hey, you want Livingston? You know what he's done for us, and maybe get some draft picks or some young players in return to fill that void. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just have to wind up biting the bullet and just waiving him just to save money. But I think that's the least ideal scenario, because – as much as, you know, the Warriors want to be, you know, cost conscious and not have to be in the repeater tax, like Joe Lacob understands paying luxury taxes is the cost of doing business, it would be very tough if they didn't get anything in return for Livingston. But beyond that, it's just going to be veterans minimum deals. Maybe Stanley Johnson could be an option, but it's pretty slim pickings at this point.
Yeah, and it looks like Stanley Johnson and Covey, I'll let you get one more question. Stanley Johnson, I guess, going to Toronto.
Oh, he's going to Toronto. Okay, well, he's off the board
just
now.
Yeah, I know. Just within the last hour, actually, in the wake of Kawhi going to the Clippers and them. By the way, how about Toronto saying no to Russell Westbrook in a trade? I mean, it sounds like Oklahoma City's going to totally rebuild, but that was kind of somewhat of a stunner to just them be so dismissive of even looking at that option.
Yeah, I mean, I think that shows for itself what kind of player Russell Westbrook is, right? I mean, it's just so ironic when you're looking at the history of the Thunder franchise, and there's always that what if about the big three with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden, right? Like, I mean, there's so much been made of, okay, well, why couldn't they keep those three together? But even if the Thunder had decided, hey, they should make that choice of being financially punitive and knowing that there might have been a tug of war inevitably between James Harden and Russell Westbrook because of their roles, what if they chose Harden instead? Like, the course of history would have been much different. But, you know, I think as far as Toronto's concerned, it reflects that, you know, the way Russell plays as a player and his leadership style just simply doesn't cut it. Like, not only does his leadership style grate on people, but the way he plays the game is not conducive to today's NBA. Like, he can't hit a three to save his life, and you kind of need to do that if you're a point guard in today's NBA.
And about the whole OKC movement with Paul George moving on, I mean, Sam Presti getting those five draft picks, essentially an unprecedented haul. I mean, do you think that in the grand scheme of things, especially if the Clippers don't win an NBA title, like the Thunder could be the winners in all this?
I mean, they could be, like, way down the line, but I think really how it should be looked at is how great did they minimize their losses. I think the Clippers are still in the winning end of this because to get Kawhi Leonard, they essentially had to get Paul George first. So it's almost like if they didn't get Paul George, maybe Kawhi doesn't go to the Clippers. And I think because of how well-managed the Clippers have been in these last few years, like, maybe they don't win a title this year, but I think that this is going to be a sustained, you know, excellence that the team will have, regardless of who wins or not. Where I think the Thunder, you know, it's tough. You don't have to necessarily listen to a trade demand, and there's certainly been history over the years that teams have not, but I think in Paul's situation, that could have just been very awkward knowing the dynamics with him and Russ, and I think at that point, like, they really had no other choice. You try to extract as much value as you can with the Clippers, knowing that they feel they need Paul George to get Kawhi, and then just kind of live with the results, because doing nothing would have been a much worse alternative.
Yeah, and Mark, it's interesting. I mean, Paul George is a terrific player. I don't love that fit, believe it or not. Like that, and to your point of the Clippers had to do it to get Kawhi, but I'm like, that's the part of this whole thing with him going there that I actually, I like the least, is the fact that it's him and Paul George. I almost wanted to see Kawhi play with the rest of that group and with Gilgeous Alexander and some of the guys that they had there. So I wonder how that all shakes out as time goes on, with Paul George being essentially the reason Kawhi chose them, or at least reported as one of the biggest.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point, JD, that you brought up as far as, like, how they fit together. And, you know, certainly they have similar skill sets. I think the one encouraging, or the two encouraging things to keep in mind, though, is the makeup of how Kawhi and Paul are as players. Like, they're team guys, and they're also versatile. And then I think, you know, we saw this in the first round of the playoffs and just through this whole season. Like, Doc Rivers is a hell of a coach, right? Like, he knows how to maximize players' roles, and he also knows how to deal with egos, you know, dating back to his time with Boston. So I think because of the things you outlined, it's not a foregone conclusion they'll win a title right away. There's always kind of that give and take when you have super teams of how well they adjust, but I think that is such a first world problem compared to everything else, and knowing that they have the infrastructure and the culture in place to maximize that kind of talent, you know, lends me to believe that, you know, it could work out for the better. I mean, I would argue if Kawhi had gone to the Lakers, for example, because of just, you know, the Lakers and the circus that surrounds them with the expectations and how LeBron is, like, I could have felt that would have been a much more of a push-pull, because you have LeBron, who's clearly the guy on the team, rightfully so, but he's battling father time, and, you know, maybe he's on the tail end of his career. Like, to what extent are they able to kind of balance everything out? Where here, you know, both guys are in their prime, and they're both seen as, you know, team-oriented players.
And Mark, you know, I was going to let you go, and I got one more for you, just because I know you had a chance to talk with Kevon Looney, who was at the Summer League game last night here in Las Vegas, and we want people to go, you know, check that out. But just how's Kevon doing? And just give us a brief synopsis of your chat with Kevon.
Yeah, without a doubt. I appreciate the plug. He was in good spirits, obviously, signing that 3-year, $15 million deal. I think the most interesting thing is he had the same reaction that we all had when the Warriors made the sign-in trade with D'Angelo Russell and saw now they're subject to a hard cap, where Kevon Looney is thinking, like, how are they going to take care of me? How are they going to afford me? So he had some trepidation, but I think what helped is that obviously the Warriors were very shrewd with how they managed the salary cap. He also told me that, you know, he talked with teams like Houston and Chicago and Phoenix and Boston and Dallas, and some of them had offered similar deals. And so the only thing that would have gotten Kevon Looney out of a Warriors uniform is if he got one offer that was just above and beyond too good to pass up. But it wasn't Kevon's mindset to just chase every single nickel and dime and get whatever the best deal is. He really has an affection for how, you know, the Warriors have obviously been winning the last few years, but also how they developed him. I mean, they drafted him in 2015. His first 2 years were pretty challenging because he had all these injuries, but they were patient with him, and he's now developed into a pretty good role player. And, you know, it's a different context. They're going to need him even more, but the way he's ticking right now is he's trying to develop into more of a jump shooter and maybe add some threes next season while also doing all those things we all know him well for, with all the, you know, the dependable defensive stops and putbacks and hustle plays and rebounds. So it'll be interesting to see to what extent Kevon's role will grow under this younger Warriors team.
Yeah, and there, any way the Warriors can get more offense, I think they'll gladly take it. And if Kevon Looney can provide some of it, then they'll be, you know.
Did we lose JD there? He dropped off.
I'm here though.
Yeah,
you can hear me.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Hey, Mark, appreciate your time, brother. JD's on the connection in Vegas, so it's all good, brother. Thanks, and we'll talk to you. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, thanks for having me, as always.
All right, good stuff from Mark Medina. And boy, Kevon Looney, 3 for $15 million. I mean, that's the coup of NBA free agency, in my estimation, probably right up until the moment that the LA Clippers ended up signing Kawhi Leonard and then announcing the trade for Paul George. I mean, the ripple effect of the NBA will be felt for some time to come. And then Rob Pelinka, for just joining us and waking up to all the news in the NBA that Kawhi Leonard is headed to the LA Clippers. Paul George also acquired by the Clippers in a trade, and so he comes over for 5 first-round draft picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We got Tim Roy with us as well. What's up, Tim? Ryan Covey here. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Ryan. What's going on,
man? Oh, just another day in the NBA, you know.
Absolutely.
Just anything big breaking on your end?
No, not on my end. Nope. The dogs are still holding out.
Okay.
We'll wait and see what happens with them.
All right.
But they have you know, their contracts are always guaranteed.
Yeah. Know, so. No, my dog Knuckles, he's on a restricted free agency contract, so we got to renegotiate next summer. All right, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, let's just start with the biggest news. The Kawhi Leonard signing with the Clippers, that was a bombshell enough when you heard, you know, it had been down to the Lakers and the Raptors, but the way that this whole process played out, the way that Kawhi maximized his leverage and then also induced the Clippers into acquiring Paul George. What a move.
Yeah, I think that's what we're seeing in today's NBA, is that the players have the power to dictate things now that maybe 20 years ago they weren't in that kind of position. You know, go back to start with, you know, how this start. LeBron went to Miami and said, "Okay, I'll go, but we gotta get Chris Bosh. We can't just be me and Dwayne Wade. I need another guy." So they set that up with Miami, and then now, you know, teams are recruiting. You know, the players are talking to each other and saying, "Hey, I would love to play with you, and hey, let's work on that when our contracts are up." And you know, that's just the way it goes right now. But it's bad news for the Warriors because it's inside the division, and Kawhi Leonard is the one superstar that they really have a losing record against. And you know, you add Paul George, Patrick Beverley, that's an outstanding defensive trio there. So they're going to be a handful. And you know, and then you got LeBron and AD inside the division as well. The Pacific Division, you know, when healthy, might be the best division in the NBA. I'll just say it's going to be the best division in the NBA.
No, it clearly is the best division in the NBA. And we've seen the Lakers now go into Plan B with JaVale and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and then DeMarcus Cousins and then Rajon Rondo back as well. They've made, what, 4 transactions here in the last 12 hours or so. Were you surprised at the lack of a robust market for DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes and no. Yes, because he's so talented. No, because he's still coming off that injury. You know, we saw that in the NBA Finals where he couldn't put together, you know, back-to-back dynamic games. And I think part of that was that you know, he still is coming back, still trying to figure out, you know, what kind of a player he can be. So there's that. And I think I think he also was a free agent in the wrong summer to be a free agent. There were so many good players on the move this summer that I think the big money went for those kind of players, guys like Al Horford and, you know, obviously Kawhi Leonard and people like that. So I think it was just the timing of it for DeMarcus was poor, not his own, you know, it's not his fault, it's just the way it is. And so I think when you combine the two, I think it was a real tough summer for him. So I think he, you know, he's looking at this as kind of another, okay, another year where I get to prove myself again and then maybe go after the contract that he wants.
Talking to Tim Roy, of course, the voice of the Warriors on 95.7 The Game. It is Warriors this week. Ryan Covey with JD, who's in Vegas. We're trying to get reconnected with John Dickinson. Just a little technical snafu, but I can hold it down with my good buddy Tim Roy. Hey, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about Kevon Looney and getting him at 3 years, $15 million. We just chatted with Mark Medina about that a little bit. I feel like that's such a win for the Warriors, and for him to be willing to maybe take a little less to stay in an organization that he feels like he can flourish in. Let's face it, like, he's going to play a huge role next season and really for the foreseeable future. You know, talk about the way his game has developed him. And, you know, were you surprised that the Warriors were able to get him 3 for $15 million?
Well, let's going to be totally official and buy the book here. As a team employee, I've not heard that announcement per se.
Fair enough. Okay.
But if there are, you know, reports out there that say that's going to happen, I would be all for it because, I just think he's such a player that does what you need to have done. You know, go out and, you know, switch and have to guard James Harden. Okay, I'll give it a try. You know, be an offensive rebounder and get in the dunking position and help us out on when they double team Steph in a pick and roll. Bingo, he's your guy. And I just think he's going to get better and better and better. And I think he's just, you know, I think this year more than ever for Kevon, I think we'll see more of his mid-range ability simply because the Warriors are going to need it. And I think in the past he's been, you know, okay, why should I shoot that when we have, you know, Kevin Durant over here, Klay Thompson over there, or Steph Curry or whomever, you know. So I think now I think he'll get to use that a little bit more because when he's dusted that off, he's hit a bunch of those shots. And I think it's a nice little, you know, addition to his offensive game that he's worked very, very hard for. And anything that kid does, I'm thrilled for him because, you know, nobody puts in the kind of time and you know, he's very coachable and listens to the coaches and does what they ask him to do. And so he deserves, you know, every bit that he gets.
Hear, hear. Hey, I want to ask you, you know, going back to the Kawhi Leonard news just for a moment, the Jerry West factor in all this, and he was such a catalyst for the change here with the Warriors back in 2011. I mean, you talk about the all-time great front office execs. I mean, Jerry West got to be at the top of that list. And here he goes again, overhauling the Clippers. And I mean, this is maybe the biggest move that we've seen in free agency since KD came to the Dubs.
Well, you know, Jerry, at this point of his life, I don't think he's into the day-to-day minutia that he was, say, when he was with the Lakers and the Grizzlies. But he's great as a sounding board. And he's great when, you know, you're making a big decision like this just to, you know, be in the room and say, okay, let's go ahead. You need to go. We need to do this right now. And so I think what the Clippers are doing is recognizing, you know, windows. And I think the Warriors have, you know, windows with the team they have and, you know, how long can they go and be a title threat with the original three of, you know, Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green. And so those are the kind of decisions that front offices have to make. And when you have a sounding board of that regard, then that's all good. And I think, you know, for, you know, say if you're Toronto and you look at what happened to them, to me, you know, I think what they did, the right thing, trade for Kawhi Leonard. They got a championship. Championships are hard to get, as we've seen in the last 5 years. You know, that you know, things happen. Injuries happen. Players leave. You know, so when you have a chance to get a championship and the Clippers feel they have that chance and you push all your chips in on the table, I have no problem with that in pro sports because, you know, you're here to try to win the thing, not to try to be okay.
Tim Roy, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson in Las Vegas. Covey at our San Francisco studios. Tim, I'm looking at kind of what's next for the Warriors. And I just mean in terms of this offseason, because I know they're up against it as far as the cap, and
They make the move for D'Angelo Russell, which I think, you know, caught everybody a little bit by surprise. But he gives him an infusion of youth and scoring ability. If you had to pinpoint one thing this team still needs above all else, what would that be right now?
Wow, it's a good question. I got to see what the final roster will look like before I really answer that correctly. And so I think that's still in the process of being assembled. I would say that obviously when you're down, you know, Klay Thompson, that hurts. But I think getting D'Angelo Russell helps, you know, solve some of that. And, you know, I was back looking at some high screen and roll tape of D'Angelo Russell. And I got to tell you, I got a little excited about that. You know, it looks like that's an interesting move. I have to count just I'm a team employee. That move has not been officially announced. So if indeed the reports are true, I guess in one word, if you looked at, you know, overall depth, just trying to get the kind of depth you want to need. And I think maybe that comes from, you know, one or two of their draft picks this year. You know, which of the draft picks is going to step up and really be a nice role player? You know, in Sacramento, you know, we watched Poole, and what I liked was that he's got some size to him, and he's, you know, he's skinny, but, the, you know, hey, we've seen skinny players succeed in the league, so I have no issue with that. But I think he's got a chance to really help them. I think he's going to be a work in progress, per se, because he is, you know, relatively raw and young. But he might be a player that's going to help them with their depth. Maybe not 100% this year, but definitely down the road. And I feel the same way about Smiley Geach. He is a player that man, his skill set is really something else. And my brother's a high school basketball coach back in New Hampshire. And he texted me the other day, and he says, "Now I understand why you guys were hiding him." So, you know, he's got length. He's young. He's only 18. Yeah, we've already, you know, seen that he can dunk around the rim. He's got a little bit of a 3-point shot, though. That's, you know, I think that will get better with time and repetition and a little more coaching. But so I think depth would be the thing I think this team needs most of all. But again, until we, you know, all the moves fall out and become official, and we see exactly what the roster looks like, I think we'll know a little bit more.
What do you think of Eric Paschal so far in the summer league? He continues to impress. It looked like he was maybe a little bit nervous the first game. The shots were a little quick and finding the right spots on the court. Maybe he just wasn't, you know, he didn't have himself initially. But the last few games, I mean, he's looked really comfortable. And I know he spoke after the second game in Sacramento. He had 18 points about how he really envisions even these games, you know, with the eye toward what he's going to be doing if he's on the court with guys like Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Just seems to have a real sharp feel for the game, and it looks like maybe he's the kind of guy that, you know, his game could translate quicker as opposed to later.
Yeah, you know, I think that he's got, yeah, he's more, I think, more ready-made, just simply because of the program he comes from, and the fact that he's a little older than the other two. So I think he's a little more ready-made. You know, it's funny. There are a couple of programs now, you look around the country, that when you get that player, there's a lot of things that they're taught and know right away that you don't have to go over stuff with, as opposed to a lot of other players. Like if you get a guy out of Michigan State, out of Villanova, as we're finding out now, Wichita State, there are certain programs where you can tell there's definitely some really good teaching going on there, and guys know how to play a little bit more than, say, some of the other colleges. And I think Villanova's one, and I think that's where Paschal really benefits from. You know, what I liked, that there was one move in Sacramento really stood out to me. He took a guy off the dribble, got to the paint, and instead of doing what a lot of kids do in college, trying to just go right over the top of the guy and use their physicality, he kind of create a little context, step back off the dribble and hit a jumper and went to the line for an and one. And to me, that's what the kind of move he's going to have to make, I think, at the NBA level, because he's not going to overpower anybody. You know, he's a little undersized and things like that. So he needs to be a clever scorer, in my opinion. And like you said, I really like what I've seen so far.
Tim, thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it all season long. It's been a blast, man, to have your insights each and every week on this show.
Is there an off season? I don't know if there is an off season anymore. I'm still working here. What are we doing here?
No off season.
If anything tells you, the last week there is no off season.
JD, I'm glad you survived the shaking, and my heart goes out to all those people in Southern California. That's a tough one. You know, you get a big one, and then you get a bigger one inside of 24 hours. That's a hard one. There's a lot of people down there with a lot of nervous people down there, and I feel for them.
No doubt.
Yes, it was scary stuff. Tim, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Timmy.
See ya.
Good All right, stuff, Tim Roy, man. We got about a minute to go here. A couple of things just to clarify. I don't know. Originally, I guess it was reported $2.3 million for Cousins. Adrian Wojnarowski saying it's actually $3.5 million Cousins' one-year deal with the Lakers. $3.5 million for DeMarcus Cousins. So he still won't be making as much as JaVale McGee, but he will be making more than Willie Cauley-Stein. So that should make DeMarcus feel a little bit better. And one other note of business here before we go. The Raptors, Masai Ujiri, their president, releasing a statement of thanks toward not only Kawhi Leonard but Danny Green. It's funny. They make that DeMar DeRozan trade. They bring those two guys over. They help them win a championship. And then within a matter of minutes, they're both on to L.A., one to the Lakers in Green's case, one to the Clippers in Kawhi's case, but the Raptors kept it classy, as you would expect them to do after winning a championship. Covey, my man, I really appreciate it. Great stuff, and thanks a lot for joining me along the way. We had a good time with it.
My pleasure, JD. And by the way, congrats to my cousins. Out a new baby, Sullivan Murphy Pittman. Welcome to the fam. Nice work.
Love it. Congrats to them. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ryan. Rick Tittle is coming your way next. He's got you covered, and he'll be taking your phone calls at 888-957-9570. Have a great Saturday, everybody.
I'm not going to be here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.